What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Get back to your phone calls in a moment. We have been discussing the job of turning things around quickly with McClellan and the Red Wings, Bickerstaff with the Pistons, Dusty May with Michigan. Who, in your opinion, has done the best job with the quick turnaround? We got 10 texts. We'll read those right now, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Ed in Waterford says Bickerstaff. Joe in Farmington says Dusty May. He brought in the guys making the most impact. James in Plymouth said Bickerstaff, mostly the same squad. Julian in St. Clair Shore says it has to be Bickerstaff. This is what the Pistons should have been looking like. Johnny in Macomb says Bickerstaff, easy answer. Dave in Casco says Dusty May has done the best job. Connor says have to go with Bickerstaff for now. Sample size for the Red Wings is too short. Mike in a car says Todd McClellan has to be the choice. The team was going nowhere, and I believe we all need playoff effing hockey t-shirts as a rallying cry for the Red Wings. Bickerstaff because he's getting the most out of his players. Dusty May knew some of his players already. It's from Jason at the barbershop. Bickerstaff for sure. Pistons just fun to watch, and I'm not an NBA fan. That's from Larry. So Bickerstaff is the number one answer. You know, I guess I agree with that, and it's because he took the same material. It's not the same. The veterans they got are better than the veterans they signed last year. But I feel like Bickerstaff is just doing more with mostly the same. Like in college basketball, Dusty May deserves a ton of credit, and I'm not discrediting him at all. But in that world, you can completely revamp a roster. They basically got two contributors, right, from last year, Cheddar and Namari Barnett.
Look, it's no small task what he's done. I think it's been amazing. And I think his question's fantastic because you really think about it. Oh. You can state a case for all three and – All right, just relax.
It's just
I paid you a compliment.
No. It's really, really fun to have some really good stuff to talk about. You think we went through some lean years.
Yeah, and I think one of the comments where somebody says too small of a sample size for McClellan, I would lean in that direction. It's too small. However, if I were just evaluating based on where it's at, the answer to me would be McClellan because he's literally taking over the same team. There are no changes. Nothing has changed. Personnel is exactly the same. And that team was horrible. He comes in, they lose the first game, and then they go out and win the next seven and then lose last night. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But overall, I would might, because I do think it's too small of a sample size at this point, I'd probably go with Dusty May. Even though you can revamp your entire team, he did.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is that team full of five-star McDonald's All-American guys, or is it just guys that know his system?
Or have adopted to his system.
Yeah.
Adapted,
so
adapted is the word.
There it is. I think that it's probably that because of that situation he's in. And Bickerstaff, it's no slight to Bickerstaff.
No, they've all done a great
they've
job.
Done it, this is, the question is great.
Yeah.
But the difference is that Trajan Langdon brought in new players veteran players to add to this core, and these veteran players are good. And with Dusty May, you don't know how they're going to adjust to Big Ten basketball, if physical basketball. And it's been amazing what they've done. So I guess I'd go there.
Michigan State in action tonight, by the way, and they are doing an excellent job with their team. They are looking very much like a Final Four contender themselves. This is going to be quite quite a Big Ten basketball season, given the Spartans and the Wolverines. Illinois is in the mix as well. They took it to Indiana last night.
Michigan State's an interesting squad. It's a different person each game, kind of stepping up and doing something. You don't see many guys that are going to go off for 20 points. What you see are, you know, five guys can go off for 10 to 12 points. Everybody playing great defense, and it's Tom Izzo basketball. And they've gotten better as a three-point shooting team, but they're still not good at it. It's interesting to hear Izzo talk about it last week, and he said, you know, as far as three-point shooting, our perimeter shooting, we still suck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, but you're doing everything else well.
This might be, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't done the research on this, and I haven't really done a deep dive on it. I don't cover that team, but this might be the least ready-made NBA talent on his roster in a long time.
Well, they've got highly recruited players, but they're playing kind of like bit parts in ways, you know? Like Xavier Booker, some games he looks like, oh my God, it's really clicked for him and he's going to be the guy. I can't wait to see him in the next game and see what he does. And then it's asked to do a different role or, you know, stand back a little bit. And Cohen Carr is unbelievable how he plays above the rim, but, you know, it's not like he's scoring 20 points a game. Everybody's got their role on it. It's like a bunch of role players, even though they were highly recruited players, but that's kind of what Izzo's done. He's always, you really had to earn your playing time with him, and he's got a style and a way that he wants his team to play basketball, and it's not about star power.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Matt. You're next on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
You make a good point, Gator. It might be McLennan with the wings on the short term, but Bickerstaff with these Pistons, I mean, can really, I think, take these guys far. And what he's got in Cade Cunningham, I think the city really needs to open up to the fact that this guy might be the third best player in the East. And, you know, in the NBA, you need one of those guys to win playoff games. And I think with the way that they're playing team basketball around a guy like that who's able to do it all, I don't know who in the playoffs could beat them. When we get them in a series, you know, you got to have a guy like that.
Wait, did you just say you don't know who in the playoffs could beat the Pistons in a series?
In the East, you don't have that many superstars that are at the level that I believe Cade Cunningham is.
Cleveland's 34-5.
Yeah, Cleveland's really good. Boston's really good.
But they don't have, I mean, yes, Boston, and you have Boston and Milwaukee. Outside of that, I mean, would you rather have Jalen Brunson or Cade Cunningham? Would you rather have Mitchell or Cunningham? I think Cade could lead a team better than some of those other guys could, and that's who we're going to see.
Are you equating having a superstar with winning a series?
In the playoffs, yes.
Okay, well, I hope you're right, and I hope Cade is every bit better than you know, Brunson is, better than what's
Donovan
his name?
Mitchell.
Banchero, and he's hurt. But hey, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, but I do not equate having a superstar with with winning a series. But you know, we'll see. that's quite a leap.
That's a big leap,
yep.
But he's got confidence, and they're playing well. But I mean,
I don't. Said, yeah, it's early.
Got it. It's a superstar league. That's a.
But
given,
I think but. What maybe he think I think he's doing it in his own mind, whether he realizes or not, he's projecting what Cade is going to be by the end of the season, right? And that's possible. We don't know. He clearly hasn't hit a ceiling yet. Will he hit that?
They're 12-4 in their last 16, I believe. Cleveland's 34-5 on the season.
Oh, Cleveland's—they're fantastic.
But
man.
He doesn't want to look at Cleveland, and because you don't think Donovan Mitchell is as good as Cade Cunningham. I think they're both really good players, but Cleveland is—you can't discount 34-5.
No, I'm not even talking personally. For me, I don't even look at Cleveland and Boston. They're on a different level. I'm trying to. I mean, you want to try to chase the Knicks? I'm cool with that. I think, you know, Brunson's done more than Caden so far in this league, and I put him above Cade, but Cade can pass him up.
Yeah, and they just beat him the other night. But the guy had a thumb. It was back-to-back
nights. That's right, back-to-back nights.
It's amazing they were able to suit up a team.
All right, straight ahead. If the Lions are fortunate enough to win, Gator, if they are, we got point spreads on possible NFC title matches. Mm. If they are able to win, they put these futures out there. I want you to think about what they might be, and we will get to that today at 118 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. There are no chickens being counted here. Anything can happen in the postseason. Some interesting data on big-time favorites in this round of the playoffs that we will get to in a moment. But, Gator, we found a we get point spreads sent to us here at the ticket. And people at betonline.ag did all the point spreads for possible title game matchups, AFC and NFC. Should the Lions be fortunate enough to perform well enough to advance past a very respectable outfit from Washington? And they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. That game would be in Ford Field. What do you think the point spread would be?
I would imagine it would be the, Lions by 4.5.
It is Lions minus 3 as it stands right now. If they get the Rams, what do you think the point spread would be?
Lions by 6.
Lions by 6.5. Well done. You know, it's funny because the Rams win in that playoff game. I mean, I'm not in LA, and so I don't know this. It's being billed a little bit as doing some good things for that community, given what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when natural disasters hit areas and a sports team can rally people, it's usually a pretty cool story. Like, you can get behind that, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is awful what's happening in LA. It's just devastating. And the pictures that you're seeing now are horrific of the amount of property destruction. And when they get into the people who had their fire insurance canceled, I'm like, I don't know how these people are going to do it. Like, this is...
It's evil.
Yes. I don't know what else behind that. Again, I'm not there, but it's all the more reason why if the Lions win, I don't want to face the Rams. You know, that storyline, we already have the Stafford storyline and the whole, that's the community with rallying around their football team. I don't know if they are, or they aren't. I just don't, that's something else that, you know, I don't want to be the bad guy in that storyline.
We wouldn't be the bad guy. We're the team that most of the country's rooting for.
Well, I often talk about, I have a lot of respect for Ryan Russillo, who used to be on ESPN Radio and is now with The Ringer. And I mean, his theory is that if you don't have rooting interest, you're a Lions fan. If your team's not in it, you're probably rooting for the Lions. And I would say that might be true for a good portion of the community. I don't think Chicago's rooting for the Lions. I don't think Green Bay is rooting for the Lions. I don't think Minnesota's rooting for the Lions. My guess is people in Cleveland aren't rallying around the Lions, cities with historic rivalries. But I mean, if you're a Saints fan, if you're a Arizona Cardinals fan, or Seattle Seahawks fan, and you have no vested interest, they seem to have captured a lot of people's favor.
Well, they're a fun team to watch. You look at the ratings that come in when they play in prime time, and they're through the roof. I think the ratings for the game Saturday night are going to be, again, through the roof. People want to see this team play, and it helps that they're playing a really good Washington team that has a marquee player that they're going to want to watch as well. Yeah, I'm not really looking ahead. I know you're not either. I mean, no. It's about Saturday night, so I'm not really even allowing myself to think, to be concerned about, is it Philadelphia? Is it the Rams? I hope it's good enough to get past Washington so we can talk about that on Monday's show. That would be great. So that's, and again, I like this matchup, Lions and Commanders.
Yeah. I got to tell you, The point spread on this one, and we mentioned it, and there's a story on our website, 971theticket.com, about big favorites in this situation in the divisional round. And look, I don't have the numbers straight up, but teams that are 8-point favorites or more in the divisional round are 2-17 against, or I'm sorry, 12-17. It's a big difference. 12-17 against the spread. And, you know, it doesn't really confirm anything. It's just kind of a reminder, hey, be careful if you think this is going to be a stress-free Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's against the spread. That's not the actual win-loss record.
No, but since the spread is 8, and if those teams typically cover the spread, that means this would be a one-score game, which means there's going to be a drive late in the game that...
Yeah, it could very well be a nail biter. I'm leaning the other way, and I understand that, you know, that history has said that it tends to go the other way, but there are 12 times when it doesn't. So I like their chances in this one, particularly if they get out to an early start. If they get out to a quick start and putting points on the board and keeping the Commanders off the field, and when the Commanders are on the field, that they're not scoring, that they've just stymied them, that Aaron Glenn has done what Aaron Glenn does, and then I think that we'll all feel really good about this. But if this game is tight at halftime, then it's gonna be tight the whole rest of the way. Ready, set, puke.
Okay, so some storylines that basically, you know, people talk about leading into this game. One is the insane season that this rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels is having. I think Jaden Daniels is a real fear in this game. Like, I don't think this is made up. This is, and they've played so many close games. They have tied an NFL record they have 6 wins this year where they have scored in the last 10 seconds or overtime. Half of their wins have come in the last 10 seconds of games or overtime. And Jaden Daniels has orchestrated 6 fourth quarter comebacks as a rookie. Like, he is, you know, this is a very legitimate fear, is that this is the next potential great quarterback. Now, CJ Stroud had an amazing first year in the NFL. And then, you know, they're still playing and they're playing well. They just want a playoff game. So let's be clear. But people are saying it's kind of a step back for Stroud this year. I think Jordan Love hit the ground running. And now there's some concern that maybe he took a step back, or it's a lot harder than people thought it was going to be. And maybe that's the way it's going to be with Jaden Daniels. But some of the stuff that Daniels has done this year is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but understand why they're there. They're in a position to come back because they're behind. So they've only had 4 games this year where they won by more than 5 points. So they've been in a bunch of tight games. I think it's a good team that can push the Lions, but I think the Lions are a better overall team. Yes, I think Jaden Daniels is going to make some plays. I think there's going to be plays where we're going, God, how can we stop? Where's the spy? Everybody's going to second guess what's happening out there, because he's going to have several plays where he picks up 15 yards or 20 yards. Maybe he takes off and it gets 45 yards. But in the end, I don't think it's going to be reflective in the score. I think we're going to see not dominance like they had against Minnesota, but there's going to be a play, much like Cam Akers going for 50, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, as long as you can get all the yards you want between the 20s.
Yeah, go ahead and light it up. But once you get inside the 20 in the red zone, it's not easy to score in the league. And it's really tough to score against Aaron Glenn's defense when you get that close. But I do think that Daniels presents real problems because of him being a dual threat. And if they design rollouts for him, then it can be concerning. But I do feel like Aaron Glenn has seen it all. They've done it all. They've been able to combat that. And I think they're going to be totally ready for this on Saturday night.
All right. Is this a real thing? Are you concerned about getting the bye? There, you know, it's like Rico came in a couple weeks ago when the Lions secured the bye, and his team, San Francisco, had a bye last year. And he's like, careful what you wish for, because he thought the 49ers came out lethargic after the bye last year in their first playoff victory against Green Bay.
Hmm. Let's see. The last time the Lions had a bye week was after the Seattle game that they won 42-29. They had a week off. Then they had to go on the road to Dallas and struggle to score 50. They won it 47-9. So I know Dallas is not Washington. I get that. But I'm not concerned about this. I think the bye week, maybe you get concerned about that if you're healthy, you know, and you haven't had to go through adversity and challenges all season long like the Lions had. If you had it, it was an easy, if the Lions had an easy 15-2, I'd say, okay, maybe that might come into play. Oh, it might be rusty. No, I think this team desperately needed to have that time off to heal up, reset a little bit, refocus, and here we go. Because they went all out to beat San Francisco. Because they had that game for all the marbles against the Vikings. And I think that there's an adrenaline dump from that, that having the time off is going to help them. I don't think there's, I don't worry about rust or any of that. I think this team is ready to go.
I think the if there is rust, I think the net effect on the Lions' performance is outweighed by the net effect of having Alex Anzalone healthier, having David Montgomery back, having a lot of banged up guys, getting a chance to rest up and prepare for this game. I mean, I think rust can be a real thing, but given their injury list going into the playoffs, I think the net effect of getting guys healthier and getting the time off is way bigger than rust possibly would be.
Yeah, I think one of my concerns this week is just simply staying away from illness. You know, there's the flu bug is going around. I don't know if it's going around in the room, but I did see that I think Rakestraw has an illness. But if they can keep away from that, you know, because this is the cold and flu season, Doc. If they can stay away from that,
are you creating fear where we shouldn't? Should we be concerned about illness?
You should always be. Be smart. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Keep your distance.
Well, I mean, but.
Just be more mindful.
There's no rumors of anything going through the Lions locker room.
I didn't say there were.
I guess I'm surprised you even brought it up.
Well, I don't know. Was that brought up at all during the college football game with Notre Dame and Penn State? The flu has just gone right through the room there with Notre Dame.
Yeah, it came up because the flu went through the room.
Right. So I want to make sure. I'm not sure why you aren't getting this. You're not worried about somehow somebody's catches the flu and next thing works?
I wasn't until now.
All right. I should know better. You do get concerned about things once they're brought to your attention.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Ticket text to the same number. Gator, I don't know if you saw this. It's actually kind of amusing. Story from Matt Lieberman, @Matt_Lieberman on Twitter. A.J. Brown might have just changed Jim Murphy's life after being seen on the sidelines reading his book and commenting afterwards. Murphy's Inner Excellence book went from number 552,709 on Amazon's bestseller list to number one. To number one.
Oh, there you go.
So I guess that's kind of a career break.
Oh, that's a big break. Yeah, sure. That works. Good for him. Not so good for A.J. Brown because the optics on it, it's terrible to see a guy reading a book on the sidelines. Nick Sirianni kind of backed off any criticism of it. Say, I just want my guys to, you know, be focused, and if that helps get them focused, so be it. I don't know if I would be that calm about it. I think it's kind of crazy, somebody reading a book on the sidelines during a football game.
If he's got like highlighted passages in the book that he uses to inspire him at specific moments, I haven't gone into the details on this, but I would think that would be something that
I've never even heard of somebody having like a Bible on the sidelines, and they start to read the Bible.
There are important passages in that book as well.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, is A.J. Brown ask for a percentage here?
He's the new Oprah Winfrey. You know, when like you get like one of those books when she had her show, you'd get on her book club or whatever, and they would just blow up and become instant millionaires after that. AJ Brown has found something here. He just needs to pick a different book every week for the sidelines.
It's going to be sort of some sort of kind of like some sort of a marketing ploy that
absolutely.
He gets to be part of.
Yep. That's what it's all about these days, Doug.
Yep. Yep.
By the way, now I'm concerned with like one of the blinds players having like the black lung pops or something. Like, I mean, Gator, what the heck, man? I wasn't thinking anything like that as well, Doug. And then Gator brings it up. I'm like, crap. Someone just texts us. I was worried when I saw St. Brown at that bakery talking to all these strangers, taking pictures with them.
Yeah, I would be too.
I mean, we should have just kept these guys locked up for the bye week.
I would keep them in a bubble, honestly. Keep them focused.
I mean, a lot of the players have kids. They go to school, come home.
Like on my checklist of all the things to do.
Right? Like, bird flu, what's going on?
Now he's introducing the flu.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
I know.
It's not. Hold on. It's not a problem.
Now it is.
Gator's worried it's going to become a problem, but...
It's a problem outside of Allen Park.
There's no reports of any Lions coming down with the flu.
And it's Rakestraw. Did not practice yet. Did not participate yesterday. Why? Hamstring / illness. I'm just saying. That's something I don't want to hear about. Let's go.
The good news was that David Montgomery.
Load up on vitamin C. Wash your hands.
David Montgomery is... was a full participant in practice yesterday. Tyrion Arnold was a full participant in practice yesterday. Tyrion Arnold, who, that was a weird injury because it was one of his own teammates landing on his foot and twisting it oddly. Like, and that was late in the game when it felt like the game was decided. So getting him back and being a full participant.
It's just a bruise.
Feels like a big deal. I know that he's taken a bit of a beating because early in his rookie year, he committed a bunch of penalties. Hasn't been nearly as much of an issue in the second half of the season. Not even close. Yeah. So
on the other side, Bobby Wagner didn't practice with an ankle. Then they had other players that are being rested. So,
yep.
Yeah, the Lions got an extra week, and the Commanders are on a short week. So I think the bye week, I'm not worried about Russ. If any team in the league needed a bye week, it was the Lions. They had one since week 5. That was 12 straight weeks of just nonstop football. Obviously, with all the injuries that piled up, even Anzalone could have used a week to let his arm, you know, who knows how much on fire his arm was after that game in this past week. And so Monty coming back, Ragnall is literally hurt all the time. It's just how hurt is he? So, yeah, let everyone rest up. The bye week was a good thing for the Lions.
Yeah, and I even forgot about the short week. I mean, they're playing Sunday, Saturday, and that, you know, look, it's not the biggest of deals, but again, we talk about the margins. We go over the officiating crews. We talk about their trends. So can an extra day help? Yeah, an extra day absolutely can help. But that's a good team over there, and it's a team to respect, and it's a team that really was good defensively in that game against Tampa. And, you know, Bucky Irving is a player that I really, really respect going back to previewing the game the Lions played against Tampa earlier in the year. They held him in check, man. And I don't know that's really truly indicative of them turning any kind of corner defensively because their defensive numbers aren't great. But I think they're probably doing the same thing we are in Detroit, and that's a little bit of building the case around a recent performance. Say, okay, the last time they played pretty well. And so I think they might be doing a little bit of that the way we are here in Detroit is building a case. Now, does it, like the Lions defense gets a ton of credit for what they did against Minnesota. Does it worry you at all that Minnesota then went out and looked bad again? And that, as much as we like to think it's about Detroit, maybe Minnesota finally hit that wall that people thought Sam Darnold was going to hit in week 6 or week 7 or week 8. But he didn't really revert to, as they say, water finds its level. Maybe it just found its level late in the year.
No, the Lions destroyed his confidence completely. Absolutely shattered his confidence. He was so pathetic against the Lions. And it carried over the next week. That's what happened. I mean, it looked worse against the Rams because he held on to the ball so damn long, and he got sacked 9 times for 80-something yards and completed less. I forget what the completion percentage was. It wasn't very good. But, I mean, that's – I think the Lions just destroyed him. It destroyed his confidence completely, and he has nowhere to go. He is what he is. You know, he's a capable backup. You threw him in the greatest situation you could throw him in with all the weapons they have offensively, and he flourished against some bad teams, and then but it built his confidence up, and he felt good about it, and he looked like a really good quarterback. And then Aaron Glenn said, "We got something for you," and shook. And then the Rams did it to him, and halfway through that game, he was seeing ghosts again. So I think it's more the Lions than anything else, so what they did to him, because they changed what was a really good quarterback during the course of the season to a terrible quarterback.
You know, it's funny because the last time the Lions, like before this incarnation of the Lions, we often cited the Lions team that beat the Cowboys in the playoffs and then went to Washington and got killed. Although, was that game close at the half? It was close at the half, wasn't it?
Which one?
The Lions-Washington game the year the Lions beat the Cowboys. Was that after the 93 season? It beat the Cowboys at the Silverdome, then went to Washington.
It was after the 91 season.
91 right? season, I'm sorry. Wasn't that game close at the half?
I think it was, and then it was a pick six, and it was done.
Yep. I don't think that has any bearing on anything, right? No. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. But that game, I think, left scars for the Detroit fans that lived it. it was a brutal game. We went in with such high hopes. And the Lions were so damn good the week before against Dallas. And then went to Washington. And I'm going to have to go back and look at that box score. Because my memories are, they're not even close to the Super Bowl.
Well, it ended up being that way. I think just when you thought they were pick six. And that is such a deflator, a kick to the nuts that, you know, how do you respond to that? And they didn't.
Yeah. The final was 41-10.
Yeah, that would tell you that got out of hand.
At the half, Washington was up 17-10.
So there you have it.
Yep. And field goal, touchdown pass. Pick six came at the end, actually. A Darryl Green 32-yard interception return for the final score.
God, that guy was so good.
Yes, he was. But so was Barry Sanders. And... see if we got what Barry did in that game.
Probably not much because they have to play from behind in the second half and they're going to be throwing a ball.
11 carries for 44 yards.
So 4 yards a carry.
Yep.
And they gave up on the run because got to throw it.
Yep.
How many passes did Rodney Pete throw in that game?
Well, it was Eric Kramer.
Or Eric Kramer, sorry.
He threw 33.
That's it?
Well, Andre Ware threw 9.
Okay. That's 42. That's a lot. Back in 1991, that's a lot of throws.
Yep. Mark Rippon went 12 of 17.
Pretty efficient.
Yeah. But they didn't really, I mean, even looking at this, the Lions give him short fields or what? 228 yards. A leading rusher had 62 yards.
How'd they score 41 points?
I don't know.
This game fast and furious.
They scored 41 points on 345 yards of total offense.
One of those was a pick six.
And I'm assuming there were some short fields mixed in as well. All right. It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 248-539-9797. 97 won the ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. It's one of the reasons why if someone in my family needs an attorney for a car or truck accident, I will recommend Michigan Auto Law, my guy Steve, and their whole crew. They have the largest auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Same thing with trucks, largest of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. And their customer service is great. They're proactive with communication. They return all phone calls within 24 hours. They care more, so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, last night, I am watching a Red Wings game, and I'm flipping around between periods, and I see TGL is on, the Indoor Golf Simulator League, and Tiger's playing.
Yep.
And I thought, well, Gator's watching this, probably more than I am, but probably during breaks in the Red Wing game. Did you watch it last night?
I had forgotten about it until the Red Wings game was done.
Okay.
And we're getting close to being done. And that's when I realized and I flipped on. So I was able to catch maybe the last half an hour of it. But I'm glad I did.
Why is that?
Well, the golf was not good. Tiger's team was going against the Los Angeles team. The Los Angeles team taking on the Jupiter, Florida team.
When they get together.
Yeah. You never know when it's going to happen. So 3-on-3. See,
throw the records out.
Yeah, exactly. So Justin Rose on one side, Tiger Woods on the other side. But on Tiger's team was Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner was having a rough time. Had a bunch of penalty shots throughout, I guess.
Penalty shots?
Yeah, well, because he was out of bounds. Hitting the ball into the simulator, and that would show that ball was tracking way far left. Or because the course that they're playing on is a computer-generated course. It's a lot of fun. Might go down the cliff, you know, like when you're playing Golden Tee or something like that. You hit it too far or didn't hit it far enough. And your next thing you know, it's way down a gorge. You have to take a drop. So he was not playing well. But there became a point last night where Kisner was hitting out of the sand trap. And once you get into the sand trap in this thing, you're literally hitting out of a sand trap onto a giant green.
So it's a real sand trap in the studio. Trap,
yeah, in the studio on this green that can morph into any shape that they want it to morph into. So it's pretty realistic from that standpoint. So the golfers are standing aside watching Kisner hit out of the trap. And Kisner does what anybody who's ever played golf has done. He mishits it out of the trap, or if you mishit it, a chip shot, and it's a rocket, and it just takes off like 100 miles an hour, more than 100 miles an hour, and it hits the flagstick. Had it not hit the flagstick, that ball was going way to the back of the arena towards like the screen that they hit at. Because once they're done hitting at the screen, then they flip sides and go over towards the green to it, because it's a man-made green. He hit it so damn hard. And it ends up deflecting it and goes elsewhere. But it was on its way just ridiculous direction. The reaction from the other five golfers is priceless. His own, his teammates at the time, it was Max Homa and Tiger Woods. They fall down laughing because it's such a ridiculously bad shot. The other guys are laughing at him as well from the Los Angeles team. It provided some entertainment for a match that really was not entertaining. Tiger's team just did not show up. The other team played much better with draining putts, and these guys weren't. But for that moment in time that I happened to catch it, I'm glad I did, because apparently that was the highlight, and it was a great highlight. I showed it to you during a break.
Yes, you did.
It is funny. And it's funny because it's a professional golfer who does what amateurs do all the time, and we can all relate to that. And then after that, he had another horrible shot, but into the screen as opposed to.
So just because I'm not particularly interested in this thing doesn't mean I'm rooting against it in any way, because I'm not. Hmm. You gave a ratings fact about it that blew my mind, because I am rooting against something in golf.
Yeah, it was last week. Do you remember what it was? Do you have the number?
I don't have the number in front of me, but I am rooting against LIV Golf. And it's because basically now we have two leagues of watered down product. It's not as good. Watching golf isn't as good on a week in, week out basis because of the emergence of LIV. And I was perfectly fine with the establishment, and now this league comes along and waters it down. But you told me a ratings fact that blew my mind. Do I have this right? That the first TGL event, this indoor golf simulator league, had a higher rating than any live event ever on television?
That is what I saw. And I'm trying to see if I can find the exact tweet from that, but that was from, you know, last week. But that's what it said. Now I'm looking at one that just came out. The second TGL match averaged 1.3 million viewers on ESPN, up 14% from the first week, and also more than the Duke-Miami men's basketball game. Through the first 2 weeks, over 6.3 million unique viewers have tuned in to the TGL.
So a reporter by the name of David Rumsey, who does a lot of golf stuff, says TGL averaged more viewers than LIV Golf ever did on the CW. Maybe that's the key thing there, is on the CW. But
where else?
And this could be the Tiger impact, because Tiger didn't play in week one, right? He just played last night.
No, he did not play in week
one. So that might be why ratings went up last night.
It's definitely why.
But I'm sorry, if this indoor golf simulator with PGA guys is out getting bigger ratings than LIV Golf, what does that say?
Well, it says that LIV Golf should probably find a better TV outlet than the CW, even though everybody's got the CW on their basic cable. There's a handful of golfers that you would care about on the LIV Tour.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys I care about, but you take them out of the events that I do care about, and I don't care.
Well, that's why they're finding common ground and trying to find a way that they can play on the PGA Tour as well, and for the major events and all that. There's looking at different models where that can work. But it was also interesting that they announced, that LIV Tour announced, that they're going to have that event in August in, is it Plymouth? At the golf course, the new course out there that they redesigned. And I think that's cool. Look, if you don't like LIV Golf, I understand it. I get why you wouldn't. But at the same time, having a professional golf event in our area, I think is great. In what we have with the Rocket Mortgage Classic, I love that. It's a PGA event, which is awesome. But here, you know, is it possible that you're going to see players that you'd like to see but aren't in the PGA Tour anymore? You know, will Dustin Johnson make this one? Is you going to see the other players? Brooks Koepka and what's his face? Bryson DeChambeau.
What was the sound effect you made earlier?
I know you don't like LIV. I got it. But you can't deny that those are golfers people want to see. And the fact that they're coming to a Detroit area, you know, in Plymouth, I think is pretty cool. So you don't have to go. But I think there'll be plenty of people that will.
I will most not go ever. But
the fact that the simulated golf league is dwarfing their ratings.
Yep.
tells you that you're not alone in your disdain for LIV Golf. I think there's a lot of people that don't want to watch it because of what it is, and there's also, it's a different setup. But
is LIV going to come up with a simulation golf league as well now?
they shouldn't. If anything, they should try to. If anything, what they should do is get a LIV trio to compete on the TGL. That's what they should do. To have, can you imagine? I mean, would that get ratings if you're watching the simulation with DeChambeau, DJ, and Koepka as a team? Well, I think people would tune in for that.
If you're a LIV guy, yeah, that would get ratings. There are more people watching you than watching your normal events.
Yes, but I get it. You don't like LIV. Thanks.
Make it clear, Doug.
Yeah. Rico Beard has made his way in studio.
Gator and Dougie D.
Watch your
What's
stuff.
Up?
Watch your stuff, Rico.
My favorite feedback that I didn't read is somebody sent us some feedback that said, is Doug meeting somebody down at the docks later today?
Merchant Marines, you join, like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, keep an eye on your watch. Same. Apparently the
Dougie
deal.
D. Yeah. When's that album drop? Mixtape.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm putting something together.
Featuring.
That's what it's about. Me and.
Featuring Schoolie.
Was it LaMelo Ball? Me and LaMelo Ball.
LiAngelo.
LiAngelo. Me and LiAngelo got a crossover project coming up.
Yeah, Schoolie D on there too.
Look into my Gucci. It's about that time to tease what's coming up next.
You know what? We have a little dilemma with somebody on the show. Looks like David is going to be asking the people, should he start taking some gummies to sleep at night?
Oh, is he having issues sleeping?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
David's going to go the gummies route?
Yeah, so he wants to know if that's to be a good idea or no.
Well, I'm just into petty theft and stick-up jobs, like, so I don't know anything about the drug trade.
I walked in like, did he lose a bet? Like, why does Doug look like...
I was cold in the building earlier today, and I left my hat on.
In this like, place?
Yeah.
Doug said he was going to knock up a 7-Eleven later.
I did say exactly that.
Yeah. Just don't make sure you're not in, what is it, Livonia? Is that what John says? Don't go into Livonia or cops in Livonia or something?
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I have nothing but respect for the fine people of law enforcement.
You don't look like it, but okay.
all right, so David might start doing gummies next. Yeah. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other.
And lock your doors.
Treat each other with respect. 97.1.